I want to talk to you today about an unchanging God. Please take your Bibles and come with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read together verses 5 through 11. The context, however, is found in verses 1 and 2. God himself is speaking to Joshua and informs Joshua and the people in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Picking up in verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That bears repeating. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Note it. As I was, so shall I be. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. The old King James said that you would have good success. Brings to mind that there could be such a thing as bad success. That you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God, for Yahovah your God, will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. I want to talk to you today about an unchanging God. As I was, so shall I be. Before we go to work, let's go to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come into your presence and we ask that you be here and that your Spirit would be alive working through your word today. And as we come to your word, as we go into the word of God, may the word of God go into us. Let its transforming power work in us, move us, motivate us, change us. Lord God, be God among us. Establish yourself in the hearts of your people, those that are here present today and those that are joining us on the live stream, wherever they may be. Be God and show yourself strong. Be God in the midst of your people. And we thank you. We come before you and we acknowledge and we confess you are enough. whatever we have to face. You are enough. You are enough, God, to get us through it. Now, Lord, bless your word to your people. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And let everyone say, amen. Now let's go to work. The book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. It's one of my favorites. You got to be careful when you say that. It's like books of the Bible or verses of the Bible are like children or grandchildren. You can't say which one is your favorite because they're all important and they're all special. But in the Old Testament section of the library, Joshua is a favorite book. This is a powerful book. This is not for the weak. This book is not for the timid. The truth of the matter, this is not for the lackadaisical. This is not for those that have a half-hearted approach to serving God. This book is transformational. It's intended to be that way. It is a book about power. And it is a book about God's presence. Here's what's interesting to me. And this is something I'm just coming to appreciate. You know, a lot of Old Testament books don't have a New Testament sort of equivalent or equal or fulfillment. We've often noted there is no book of Leviticus in the New Covenant. But there is a companion volume to the book of Joshua in the New Covenant. It's the book of Ephesians. And I want you to notice from the reading of Ephesians chapter 1 some things that parallel and correlate to what we just read in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking, and the people are ready to enter into a new phase, a new relationship, and God speaks about blessings. The blessings in Joshua are literal. They are physical. They are about to go in and possess the land. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, he is talking to those who are in the new covenant, spiritual Israel. And he says, God has given us all blessings. Joshua is communicating God's word that the children of Israel had all of God's blessings, which were physical. Now, Paul is communicating to God's people, we have all blessings, they are spiritual blessings in Christ. Joshua is speaking to the second generation. The first generation had fallen in the wilderness. It is the second generation that is ready to go in and take possession of the land. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about those who first came to know Christ, which were the apostles themselves. And then he speaks to, but you, which includes us. That second wave, that second generation that are going to come in. And of course, all of the power and the beauty that the New Testament brings out in other places. Crossing over Jordan into the promised land. Crossing over into our heavenly reward. Now, that's the power behind this book. And the reason why I think it is so important that we sort of make this connection right at the beginning of the lesson between Joshua and God's people of that day and Ephesians and God's message to his people of that day is that serving God in both cases takes courage. And if we are going to be God's people, and if we are going to enter into the spiritual blessings that God has prepared, we need to be strong and very courageous. Context is everything. So as we come to the book of Joshua and we come to the first chapter, and we want to take this and make hard application to ourselves, we got to get the context. Seeing what God is saying to the original audience in its original circumstances are critical to us. I want you to understand that in this context, absolutely everything is in motion. Everything is moving. Everything is in turmoil. Nothing is familiar. Nothing is what they were used to. Everything is changing except the most important thing, and that is God Himself. In the midst of absolutely everything changing, we see our God, who is unchangeable. The children of Israel have been wandering for 40 years. It's been a death march for 40 years. Someone has done the calculation of the number of people that would have died on a daily basis. It's staggering. And now it's the second generation, and now they are ready to cross over Jordan. In 3 days' time, they are going to go from being nomads to being city dwellers. From being rentals to being property owners. They are going to be completely different in their perspectives. In 3 days' time, the manna is going to end. The miraculous provision given by God, it's going to stop. The minute the priest's feet step into the Jordan and the waters separate and pile up on one end, and the people cross over, they will eat of the fruit of that land. They're going to have to gather food for the first time in 40 years. The manna, it fell with the dew every morning, except on the Sabbath. And the text tells us it fell right outside their tents. All they had to do was reach out and gather it. But I appreciate this point and mark it down. They did not open their mouths like little birds and God feed them. They had to reach out, gather it, and then fix it. They're going to enter into the promised land and they're going to have to go about gathering and planting and harvesting. And God even tells him, I'm giving you houses you didn't build. I'm giving you vineyards you didn't plant. But you got to go collect a harvest. Everything is about to change. And everything has changed. Moses, my servant, is dead. Think of the impact of that. They had been under the leadership of Moses for 40 years. Moses was the man. Everything came about through Moses. It was Moses who raised up his staff and divided the waters of the Red Sea. It was Moses who lowered his staff and the waters caved in on their enemies and they saw Pharaoh and his chariots no more. It was Moses, when the people were obstinate and in rebellion and now were sick, it was Moses who raised up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. It was Moses who got down on his hands and knees and laid himself out on the ground again before a rebellious people and prayed on their behalf before God, and God stopped. He relented from destroying them all. It was Moses who went up on the mountain and 40 days later came down with not only the law, but the instructions for the construction of the tabernacle. It was Moses. And then one day, Moses went up on the mountain and he didn't come back down. Over in the New Testament text, in the little one chapter book of Jude, we get some fascinating information. In reference to the fact that Moses died and God buried him, and it was secret, and apparently the only ones attending the funeral were angels. And Jude tells us that there was even a dispute between Michael, the archangel, and Satan himself over the body of Moses. What in the world did Satan want his body for? What he couldn't have figured out with Job? Did he want to do some kind of autopsy on him to see what made this guy tick? Well, it seems to me that even Satan would understand that the important part of Moses was no longer there. Moses goes up on the mountain and he doesn't come back down. It has been 30 days. The people have mourned and they have wept. And God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, get ready to cross over. And God tells Joshua, and God tells the people, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. God does not grieve over Moses. There is no shifting of shadow or light, because God is the source of light, and as it comes out from him, how can there ever be a shadow? Because shadows are dependent on a light source separate, and your movement makes the shadows and they shift. So you get that? In God there is no shift. He is an unchangeable God. And in one breath he says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. An unchanging God. Now that's the context as God speaks and as he writes. Everything in this text is moving except for God. These are his people, and in fact, they are coming home. But yet, it is a home where they have never lived. Their forefathers lived there 400 years earlier. This is their homeland. This is a homecoming. They are facing a new future, but they are doing so without an old leader, Moses. Have you ever put yourself in Joshua's shoes? How would you like to be Moses Jr.? How would you like to be in that position? I mean, God has already said, other prophets, I will speak to in dreams and visions, but my servant Moses, I will speak to as a man speaks to a friend face to face. If I were Joshua, it's like, I think I would take great comfort in God telling me, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And in this context, mark it down. I haven't highlighted in my Bible the number of times God says, be strong and courageous. He says it in verse 6. He says it again in verse 7. He says it again in verse 9. And then the Reubenites come back to Joshua and repeat it back to him as in, we get it. And they say that at the very last verse, verse 18 of the chapter. Wow. The children of Israel are poised and they are ready to go in. In 3 days, they will cross over. They're almost there. Every step they have made all along the way, they have made by foot. No other way to get there. And they are poised and they are ready. And God speaks to Joshua and tells him, tell this to the people. As I was, so shall I be. When everything is changing all around us, when the future, 3 days from now, is so uncertain. Some of you just got that. When everything is changing all around you is when faith has its greatest reliance. When everything is unstable, when the future is uncertain, is when faith has its greatest relevance and its greatest power. When you run out of Moses, you better run into God. As I was, so will I be. The only thing in the text that isn't changing, mark it down. There has been regional change for them. There has been territorial change for them. There has been requirement changes for them that are about to take place. There has been leadership changes. And whenever your life is full of change, whenever there are all kinds of variables and all the parts are moving all at the same time, you better find an absolute. And that absolute better be a real absolute. And so from the outset of this book, that isn't for the weak, that isn't for the timid, that is a book about power and is a book about presence. This unchanging God says, in the midst of all the change, I who never change, I will be with you. All right, now, let's just kind of go through this. And we're just going to pick out a couple of things and we're going to see how the unchanging God presents himself in this text. All the words I'm going to share with you start with a P, all right? That'll make it easy. Let's start, first of all, with the people. The people. They are within earshot of what it is that God is saying to Joshua. We say they're within earshot. You remember that the people had said to Moses, when God spoke from the mountain, and the entire congregation of Israel heard him proclaim the Ten Commandments. And the people, in fear and trepidation, they came to Moses and they said, we don't ever want to hear the voice of God ever again. You go talk to him. Joshua now is in the position of leadership. God is speaking to Joshua. And Joshua immediately goes and he communicates the message to all the people. And it is communicated so well. You know that technique in communication that when you stop and you say, let me see if I'm hearing you correctly. And you repeat back what the person has just said. And that's so affirming and that's a really great communication tool. That's what the Reubenites do. They come back to Joshua and in essence tell Joshua everything that Joshua had said to them. Be strong and courageous. The people are right there. These are God's people. And the command is given to them. It's a command. Be strong and be courageous. The command to get ready is given to the people. And notice also the promise. I will be with you. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. That promise had been so important and so significant to Moses. Do you remember? On one occasion, God so angry with the people. And he said, I won't go with you, but my angel will go with you. And Moses said, uh-uh. Lord, if you don't go with us, how can we go? His presence, so vital, so critical. Before they took a step, Moses understood that. Joshua also has that perspective. His presence is more important than anything else. How important is his presence? More important than anything else. His presence being with them is even more important than the land. Land was promised to them, but what would it mean without God's presence being there? I was listening to a preacher this week, and he made the observation, he made the point. He said, What wealthy man goes out looking for a woman who's got a pile of debt a mile high? You don't go looking for that. Now, you may end up finding that. But don't you understand, you know, a guy, if he's got a lot of money, does he want to be loved for his money? You see where I'm going with this? All right, does God want to be loved for his wealth? No, what he's promising is, I will be with you. That's the promise. And the value of that promise is, they're going into unknown territory. It's unknown for them. They've never been this way before. We may know a little bit about taking care of ourselves out in the middle of the desert and how to deal with, raiding troops that come up against us, but we have no clue how to go in and go up against fortified cities and bring them down. Lord, unless you go with us, we can't go. The promise of his presence, the promise of the presence of an unchanging God, more valuable than anything else. In the midst of this promise that God makes to his people, people promise, I want you to see the priority. The priority. Back in verse 7, when God says for the second time, be strong and very courageous, he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Old brother D. Bowman says, the goal of Christianity is you just got to keep your vehicle between the ditches. Don't turn to the right or to the left. That's in fact part of our theme perspective as we're looking at our God as a waymaker. You hold on to this law. Make it your priority. And then notice what he says. He says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Do you see that there is a twofold aspect of devotion that God is building into his people. He's telling it to Joshua. Joshua is going to go all throughout the camp and proclaim the message. This is part of how you get ready. You know how you get ready? You've got to prioritize. Prioritize what? Prioritize what's important to God. You prioritize his word. Remember, Joshua is the very first biblical character who has any of God's word written down in his hand that he can use as a resource and go back to and confer and memorize and hide up in his heart so I may not sin against thee. He is the very first one. It is this generation that is told, you meditate on it day and night. Meditation involves the head and the heart. But he also says, and don't let it depart out of your mouth. Talk about it. Talk about it. I'm telling you, the longer I serve Christ, the more convinced I am that our language needs to be saturated with the Word of God. I mean, sometimes I know it's not supposed to be rote. It's not supposed to be vain. It's not supposed to be vain repetition. And I know that there are some people, you hear them say, Lord willing, so much you almost want to roll your eyes. Almost. But mark it down. If you are meditating on his word like that day and night, and it's just constantly falling out of your mouth, what do you expect it to sound like? That's what it's going to be like. And it's that kind of devotion. It's that kind of daily devotion that God is calling upon for his people to prioritize. You know what makes for really great corporate worship? When we come together as the body of Christ, as we come together in joyful assembly, and we are the church churched, when we come together, you know what makes for really great worship? Is people that have been engaged in worship and engaged in devotion the 6 days leading up to the first day of the week. When you come in, and as the old saying is, the pump has already been primed. You don't have to warm it up. When that is something that is part of our daily life, when we come together, well, it's just fine-tuned a little bit. Your priority is pleasing me. Be devoted to what pleases me. Day and night, don't let it depart from your mouth. And then notice the purpose of God. And I hope you appreciate when we read through Ephesians chapter 1, did you notice how many times God's purpose, it's all in that one sentence. I want you to notice the purpose of God here. Moses has died, but God's purpose has not died. There is a new leader, but God has not changed. God's purpose has not changed. I think the message for Joshua and for his generation was, I want you to understand, I can use anybody. And that definitely is a message that gets repeated over and over and over again. In fact, God can use a donkey if he wants to. And he can use a great big old fish. God can use anybody. And here's one of those places where we really have to balance some things. Are we mature enough to handle this morning? One of the most dramatic visuals I have ever seen. And it works so well, I don't even actually have to have it here for you to see and get the point. Did this at a Bible study at camp several years ago. Galvanized bucket full of water. Would have kids come up, stick your hand in the bucket, and then pull it out. Go ahead, do it. Can you see that in your mind? What impact did you have on the water? What lasting impression did you leave on the water? As great as Moses was, when Moses left the scene, God can use anyone. You understand that point? Now, it takes maturity to understand that and appreciate it and put it in the right context, because you are as unique and as special as any snowflake. There is not another one like you. And the gifts and the talents and the things that God has poured into you, oh, he can use. But God is so great, and he is so unchanging. And he is so sovereign that he can declare, all things work together for good for those that love me. He can take your mistakes, he can take your weakness, he can take your foibles, your mess ups, and he is still God. And he can see down the road 100 miles ahead. He can see 100 moves ahead on the chessboard, and he will still be God, and he will still be sovereign, and he will still bring about his will, his purpose, regardless. So Joshua, be strong and courageous. Because here we go. And you get to be a part of God's purpose. And then, notice the provision. We talked about the manna a moment ago, and that's all important, that's all significant. In chapter 5, the manna stops. I want you to notice what God instructs the people to do. They've got 3 days to get ready. In 3 days, you're going to cross over. In 3 days, the world is going to look totally different from what it looks like right now. Get your supplies ready. Now, I'm telling you, I am re-enamored with the old King James. The old King James, some of you have it on an app, and you can pull it up and you can look on it. The NIV says, get your supplies ready. The old King James says, prepare thy victuals. Victuals is a polite word for victuals. Fix your food. Get your food. This is the last of the manna. Get it ready. Because in 3 days' time, we're going over. And when we're going over, the manna's going to stop. When we're going over, you're not going to have time to bake your bread. Get it ready. Get ready. God's incredible provision. But then, This free grace, the manna, free grace. What's on the other side? On the other side are vineyards with clusters of grapes so big it took two Israelite men to carry it on a stake to bring it back. And the reason why they brought it back was because they didn't have smartphones and could just snap a picture of it. And they were saying to themselves, there's no way anybody's going to believe us unless we bring it back. Promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's provisions on this side, miraculous. God's provisions on that side, wondrous to behold. A promised land. What has God given us? Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to have some great discussion at the Lord's table. Next, the possession. People, promise, priority, purpose, provision, and now the possession itself. What God says at the end of verse 11 is really, really interesting. He says, get your supplies ready. Go throughout the camp. Tell the people, get your supplies ready. Prepare thy victuals. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. There is a very interesting sort of dynamic juxtaposition between these two words. And they are two concepts that are almost like oxymorons. If he's given me the land, why do I have to go take it? Get the idea? Why do I have to possess it if he's giving it to me? This is the nature of God's grace. And again, an unchanging God, just like with the manna. He didn't drop it into their mouth. They had to reach for it. And even in Jesus' prayer, give us this day our daily bread, there is implied in that we may have to search for it, reach for it, grab it, and prepare it. The possession is theirs. But here's the beauty and the power of it. I will be with you. God never once said, when you go into the land, you're not going to have to fight for it. But what God did say is, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. So we are God's people. In 3 days' time, God rose his Christ from the grave. In 3 days' time, the supply for our salvation was made ready. We are spiritual Israel. It seems like right now we are on board a runaway train and the wheels are flying off in every direction. It may feel like everything is changing, but in the midst of a world where everything is changing, we have an unchanging God. As I was, so I will be. He has promised to us a greater promised land. He has promised to us a greater sense of His presence. He has promised to us a greater rest. He has promised to us a greater joy. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and very courageous. The lesson is yours. Lord God, bless your word to your people. As we have gone into the word now, so let the word go into us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.